Hi there, welcome back. I'm very, very happy to be here with my dear friend Andrea. And we are on the precipice of the equinox and eclipse season, and thought it would be a perfect time to dive deep into the energetics of this moment.
Well, and we also thought it'd be a good idea to be a little more consistent with our recordings. And hey, look, equinox is tomorrow, or equinox, tomato, tomato.
The most important day of the year. It's interesting.
It's
Every day seems to be the most important day of the year. And how can it be one important, most important day when we have two equinoxes and two solstices? That said, this equinox is the beginning of the astrological new year, and it is the kickoff energetically of a whole new cycle, beginning in as the sun moves into Aries. And it is a dynamic that truly shapes the frequency of the momentum. And if we weren't so beholden to this calendar, this Roman calendar, we might have a whole different experience on Earth.
Well, and as we were saying too, equinox tomorrow is the day that it all comes into balance. And that's actually probably the best astrological transit we have to enjoy right now. So not only is it the most important, but it's the only good one, guys. So, make the most of it.
The same day of the equinox, Mercury, the planet Mercury, our favorite planet of communication and thought leadership in technology, moves into its shadow period before retrograde. So, this 2 weeks at the end of March, from equinox until the end of March, the themes that might come up around communication, your writing, your words, conversations, contracts, agreements, issues that you might have with your siblings or close friends, issues or concerns around travel, planning your summer travel, etc., might come into focus. So pay attention, because when Mercury does go into retrograde in early April, these themes will be highlighted even more so. And this equinox kind of kicks off that period. So pay attention. If you have not synced up your phone or backed up your computer, today would be a good day to do it. When was the last time you did that?
I think it's also with the Mercury retrograde is the editing. It's a great time to edit. It's a great time to review. And like, I would say even it one way to really use the energy too is spring cleaning. Edit, edit, edit. Like, nope, don't need it, don't need it. toss. But this, I'd like to like not spend too much time on the Mercury retrograde. It's like we're today years old. We get four of them a year. We get it. I feel like we've all lived through so much fear mongering with Mercury retrograde and blaming of Mercury. It's just like, calm down. It's like this, it's not a perfect formula living on Earth. There's going to be shit that happens. And I remember I had something. There was some travel snafu that happened for me when I was in the UK, and there was the temptation to be like, "Oh, Mercury retrograde." I'm like, "Yeah," or just get your shit together.
Well, I think that's an important teaching for life, as you said. We're here on Earth. The pressure is real, right? The energetic pressure is real. We're trying to be our best selves all the time, right? We want our health to be the best it can be. We want our relationships to be the best that they can be. And part of living and trusting and really moving into understanding who you are as a soul being is to give yourself grace and love and forgiveness and space to maneuver through all of this. So as we talk about these energies, I think you and I are very attuned to whatever the thing is, and we're responding to it in the best way that we possibly can, which ultimately has been a lot of napping, a lot of alone time, and a lot of long, deep conversations about, the meaning of life and what the fuck is happening here.
Yeah, I mean, I we we in our conversations too, we've been saying how, like, for our dear listeners, this has been a really, this has been a doozy Pisces season for a lot of us. And it's just our own conversations, our own experiences. Like, for me, a lot of just grief stuff coming up, and it's like, oh, that old chestnut, you know, but there it is. It's like, rather than judge it or have opinions about it, I really just kind of went with it, noticed it. And, you know, just back to the whole grace and, like, give yourself a break. You know, there's also, I think, just still a lot of old programming to us to, like, be the best and achieve and success. So I want the best possible timeline. Like, that's a, that's becoming quite the little buzz phrase. And I use it, I say it. But it's like, sometimes I imagine my guides being like, this is the best timeline. Shut up and take a nap. You want the best timeline right now? The best timeline is take your dog for a fucking walk. Let him, like, do his business and seriously breathe some fresh air. Yeah. Stop asking. Stop. Stop calling me.
Yeah. My best timeline is put the sugar down. You don't need that piece of chocolate. It's okay. Don't, like, race to the store in a frenzy at 9 p.m. because, you know, the emergency chocolate has disappeared. And that's actually been one of my things that I've been paying attention to is, what am I ingesting? Like, what fuel am I giving to myself as part of this? Because I think too, I'm, like, spiking the blood sugar, et cetera, et cetera. So my energy is very much waxing and waning due to artificial means. And I personally would like to just find a little bit more stasis in there. So that's been my little thing that I've been watching. Honestly.
All right. Wait, well, cut to my best timeline, because my best timeline. So my rule for myself that I have not completely lost control of my life is not wearing pajama pants to the grocery store at 8:45 PM. That's my measure of, Andrea, get a hold of yourself.
Yeah.
Either put on some pants or, you know, whatever. But then it gets to be 8:48 and I'm like, I don't have time to change my pants. I have to go like this. So I put on my long down coat to kind of cover. I'm like, if I'm wearing a long coat and kind of covering the pajama pants, it doesn't count. And there I am sitting in my car after the grocery store run, eating the gluten-free chocolate thing that is, like, so spiked with other things because it's gluten-free. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is the best possible timeline. This is it. This actually is your best possible timeline, Andrea. So just, you know, eat up.
The struggle is real. The struggle is real. Now, yes. Let's just talk about what is going on. If you are following us, we're just trying to navigate the day without having a total breakdown. But it's not even that. I think part of it, which is kind of funny for you and I both, is that we're observing the thing and we're still doing it. So it doesn't, you know, making a special trip for me to the, you know, drugstore to buy Easter candy, knowing that I shouldn't be eating it and actually don't want it, but I'm still observing myself doing it. And I'm still, I mean, it's like, it's a very interesting situation. Regardless. So we are at the tail end of Pisces season. The sun is in Pisces until it enters Aries on the day of the equinox. There are other planets in Pisces making this sort of Pisces dreamland spaceship quite active. And one of them being the planet Saturn, another being the planet Neptune, and also Venus and Mars have entered into the fray. So there's still some deep transmission from that outer realm, the land of the subconscious, the land of the dreams, where things are a little bit cloudy, things are a little bit murky, things are a little bit flowing. The emotions might be running very hot right now. Andrea, you and I have been talking again that so many people are showing up and saying, I'm so tired, or I can't get anything done, or things seem to be taking a really long time. or I'm just going to take this week off and event, you know, I'll get back to work next week, that kind of thing. And the one person I know that is thriving in this energy has so many planets in Pisces. And so much activity in their 12th house. It's just like, they're just buzzing because there's the frequency really is resonating with them. So that might be you too. Like this might be, you might be one of these unicorns that's, you know, elevating and ascending in this time frame and using the frequency to sort of, you know, move on to the next level and get as much energy and get in as many downloads and meditate a ton and do lots of yoga and really deepen your spiritual practice. That is 100% available. Absolutely. Most people are getting lost in the fog.
Yeah. And, you know, like we always say too, it's like, it'll pass. You know, a lot of us that are very driven and very like, you know, we were bred to achieve. And when it's very difficult to find yourself achieving things or having clarity on like, what should I be working on? You know, it's the energy is just actually not supporting that right now. And that doesn't mean it's wrong. It doesn't mean that you're failing or whatever. It's really like where is the energy and trusting? Like we have to trust that like we have a 360 degree wheel, you know, in our beingness. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the energy is not always on go, 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 achieve, achieve, achieve.
Yeah.
Sometimes the energy is on rest. And like you're talking about, a lot of us also, and you'd sent me this meme or something, or someone had posted about the fact that if you're in an up level, if you're, you know, we are in a transformation, but like we are in an up level, we are in a transition, our bodies are changing. Gene Key's drinking game, our DNA is yeah. in an evolutionary mutation. And mutation's a weird name, a weird word, but our bodies, you know, Jessel Reed's talking about this, our bodies are changing also. And like food that used to go down easily isn't going down as easily, or, you know, cravings for different kinds of foods. And like what you were saying earlier, what am I ingesting? I mean, our bodies they're our vehicles to carry us through this 3D. It's foolish for us to think that they're going to stay in the same routine, the same state, you know, as ever. We're going to, you know, the more sensitive we get, the more the energies ramp up, the more we're going to notice things. And rather than immediately react to them, rather than immediately find a story for them, rather than immediately try to figure it out, just let it be.
Yeah.
Just let remind yourself, okay, it's all phenomena no matter what. So, okay, it's not good, it's not bad. You know, just even this morning, Ian and I were sort of brainstorming some things about the business and like, you know, how can we get more traffic? How can we get more clients? How can we blah, blah, blah. And I'm throwing at all these ideas and he reacted to one of them. He's like, why do you always bring that up? And I'm like, hey man, I'm popcorning here. I don't know that this is I have 1,000 thoughts in my head and they're not, you know, In reproductive language, they're not all viable. I'm aware, but you know, that's just me like spouting off things. None of this has to be taken too seriously. And we'll pick the first three that make the most sense, that have the most energy, that seem to be the best move today. And you know, tomorrow's another day.
Yeah, I think this is important. And again, you and I talk often, you know, it's all divine plan, right? You can use that language if you want or not. It's a little the spiritual woo-woo of it all, right? I mean, again, we're rational beings, very grounded, I think, as well. But at the same time, we see the themes come up over and over again. And this is something that I think for me, and I want to start talking a little bit about these eclipses, because we're coming into this eclipse season just pretty quickly after the equinox. Eclipses are catalysts. Eclipses are these other versions of timelines that are going on. I mean, the fascinating thing when I've done some, and everybody can do this if they'd like, is to look up NASA and eclipses and Saros cycle on the internet. And you basically understand that these eclipse cycles go in 18-year, the frequency every 18, 19 years they show up, and they're on thousands of year timelines. So these eclipses are actually running over and over and over again for a very, very, very long cycle. And we're here in our physical form for only a fraction of that cycle. So these eclipse timelines have been going on for multiple potentially of our lifetimes. And they're really here to give, in my opinion, to give us these boosts. It's almost like a rocket boost, where it really is propelling you forward again, if you want to use the word timeline, or into another, you know, frame of mind, or, you know, opening new doors and opening new possibilities while also moving on from the things that haven't worked or the things that haven't fit properly in the past or that need to be revised or, you know, retrofitted maybe, or really completely dismantled to start over again. And so I just am very fascinated by the eclipses. I've gotten more and more into them, I think, as time has gone on, because I'm fascinated around this 18 and a half year cycle. And I think we talked last time, this April 8th, 2024 eclipse occurred same degree, same sign, April 8th, actually 2005. So go back in time, look and see what was going on there energetically. What were the themes? Is that, are you ready to finish that? Because this is the end of that period and the beginning of the next phase. And you and I were looking at your chart. This first lunar eclipse, not that April 8th, but the one here this year on March 25th, which is a full moon lunar eclipse in the sun in Aries and the moon in Libra at 5 degrees, is conjunct your Pluto and also very close to my Pluto Mars as well. And it's kind of a fascinating story, really, to sort of delve into that archetype, right? But really, you got to look at it from a personal lens. Pluto technically is not a personal planet. It's a transpersonal planet. It's out there, right? But in evolutionary astrology, it does represent the soul and the work of the soul and why the soul came here. So if you have a planet at 5 degrees Libra or 5 degrees Aries or 5 degrees Cancer, Capricorn, plus or minus a couple of degrees, and also for you, you've got your Mercury in Cancer. So there's at 6 degrees Cancer. So it's very much involved in this story of this eclipse. So you'd want to look at Pluto, you'd want to look at Mercury or whatever, again, planets that you have there to show. And it's kind of interesting too, to look through the lens of those energetics to then go back, you know, the 18, 19 years ago and see what else you were doing. How were you communicating? Who were you talking to? Who were you in business with? You know, what contracts were available to you? What was your relationship to your siblings, for example? Were you traveling? Were you moving, you know, through time and space? What did those moves achieve? How did you feel about them? And is this cycle ready to be put to bed? Or is it the beginning of something even vaster that you couldn't have even imagined at that period of your life?
Yeah. And I think, like, and first of all, aren't we adorable? Like, aren't we so adorable that how precious we make so many of these moments when you talk about the Soros cycle, you talk about this like millennia, and, you know, even in our yogic conversations, you know, 8.4 million lifetimes, it's like, aren't we adorable that whatever's on your mind today that's bugging you, like, you know, oh, that person didn't call me back, or I didn't make the sale, and oh, it's like the biggest freaking thing in front of you, and you're like, oh, you're cute. So cute, you little human, like beating yourself up about getting chocolate at the grocery store in your pajamas. Like, wow, you came this far. But yeah, I mean, It's so funny because like my sister was pregnant with my nephew 18 years ago, and I had started a new freelance gig that had was giving me like a lot of freedom, really. It was paying me well. I bought a new car. Like, it was actually like a really great time. And later that year was when I first dated Ian and things. So in many ways, like, that was a year that a lot of things really came together for me at that period in my life. And I can look back on that. And because the world is so different and we are so different, I mean, I think all of us, you and I for sure, but like people listening, people we talk to, I mean, we have made leaps and bounds. And I think what I could say is 18 years ago, my life really came together in really wonderful ways and really great beginnings that fulfilled that paradigm and fulfilled those expectations that I had at the time. And I had a very limited worldview, as we all did. Mm-hmm. I just was so not aware of what I'm aware of now, let's just say. Yeah. And that's life experience, right? But what it helps me in this moment is you don't know what you don't know. So at the time, I didn't know what I didn't know. And things came together in a really wonderful way, in a way that I could handle too. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't like huge achievements necessarily, but it was like water meets its own level. It's like, it's what I could handle. You know, some people can't handle a lot of good coming their way. Some people can't handle a lot of bad, whatever. It's like, it's just a lot of developments, let's say, that inform your present moment and your future. And for me, they were, you know, I mean, Ian and I are married. We've been together 18 years. So really great thing. So I could look at this eclipse now and be like, okay, well, you know, in a way I don't have to really worry about anything. Like I've already had this transit in a way, or at least a similar transit. I'm thinking, I guess about the April 8th one, but the one that's hitting the Pluto and the Mercury and all that, you know, it's the way I look at it. And by the way, anybody, like, you guys book a session with Joanna and she can tell you how these eclipses will affect your, I mean, I'm lucky. I get the, you know, I have the little lifeline with her, so I can just call her up, but, you know, you have to book her. but the way I treat most things now is, look, there's energy available, and I'm just going to take each day the way I take every day and just be aware that there's energies at play, and I'm just not going to take myself too seriously. I'm not going to take the developments or the phenomena too seriously. I'm going to do my practice. I'm going to manage it like I manage everything. I'm going to look for the best possible action to take at a best possible time. If I'm triggered, that's going to be a really big message to me that, you know, they're okay. Oh, this is the energy playing out. Let's keep our cool here. So yeah, I mean, and it's what I tell anybody. It's like, it's energy. Do your thing, do your day. You've been preparing for this anyways. Like, I think about the very interesting synchronicities that pop up for me, like in, you know, okay, so reading the gene keys, for example, and one of the gene keys that is very prominent for me, he's talking about salt. And I'm like, what? It's just so random. It just kind of comes in. He starts talking about salt. But he's talking about how salt is a great detoxifier and how salt carries, you know, through sweat, through urine, through tears. And I was thinking, I'm like, wow, I have been going to Bikram very diligently, and I've been hitting the sauna very diligently, more so than ever in my life. It's also really cold here, and it's a way for me to warm up. But I'm like, isn't that interesting that I've just been following my own intuition? Oh, I should really get into Bikram tonight. Oh, I should go to the sauna tonight. Not thinking anything of it. And then later I'm getting this interesting little qualifier, which is like, hey, by the way, one aspect of like really evolving with this particular phase of your life involves salt and sweat. And I'm like,
wow.
Like, but these are the things that, I don't know. I mean, it's just everyone kind of do your thing, but what are the synchronicities that are showing up? And what are these interesting little matches that you're finding, things that you just were nonchalantly doing? And then later on, you're like, oh, wow, I've been doing that for months now. Maybe I've just been quietly preparing myself for whatever this moment is. And I can trust that I've been preparing myself. Oh, gee, maybe I should get on a juice fast, somebody might think. Or, oh, gosh, maybe I want to, like, I'm going to look that yoga set up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more like, don't worry about it. If there's a, you know, oh, there's a big eclipse coming. Guess what? You're ready for it. You're fine.
And I think the thing that is coming up for me that I think is very important is that you're paying attention. And that's the part that I think that both of us want to kind of hit home a little bit, is pay attention and watch these experiences and value them and honor them, because you don't, like you were saying, it didn't kind of click until you read the thing, but the experience of going to Bikram is very important. And I know, because I've had many conversations with you where you're like, I have to leave. Like, I'm going to Bikram. And also, you know, and so it's been a priority and very important. And so even for me, it's like the wandering around the neighborhood and like fake buying, you know, because by the way, I don't always buy the candy, but I pretend sometimes. But even that, it's, you know, there's a contemplative situation where I'm putting myself in a situation where I just need to think or clear my head or be out in nature and, you know, look at the blue sky or whatever the thing is. And so that's part of the experience. And I think to honor that and presence it and bring it into reality and make it a promoting habit instead of a demoting habit, because not everything that we do, certainly, and going back to what you were saying around, you know, being accomplished and achieving stuff and doing something as a mark of a good day or a good life experience. Okay. All of these experiences are important.
Yeah.
And to really use them in, you know, as part of that, like the makeup of your day or this week or your relationships or whatever it is, I think that keeps us more and more in the present moment. And the more that we're in the present moment, we are vibrating at the frequency that our soul was attracted to come in, you know, in this physical form. Because staying attached to the past or obsessing and worrying about the future is not actually going to get you where you want to go.
Right.
So watch these moments, watch the experience, whether it's the, you know, I have to move my body, I have to increase my body heat in order to sweat, or I need to, you know, whatever the thing is, like go on a water fast. It's, by the way, there's a lot of people I know doing water fast these days. That's a whole other conversation. I don't know much about it, but people are really enjoying this stuff. I also know a lot of people that are wearing these blood sugar monitors too. And it's fascinating because they're like recalibrating how they're eating and all this kind of thing. And it's like the gamification of, you know, of nutrition and the gamification of physical health, which is probably very much part of this Pluto and Aquarius frequency.
And I mean, is Aries the body? Like, I mean,
Aries, the sign of Aries does represent the physical body. It represents the first sign of the zodiac, which is how we enter into the world and how we present ourselves to the world and really present, you know, through the lens of our own frequency and really to understand the vibration that we're bringing forward. So it is, yeah, how we look, how, you know, how the shape of our physical body, right? Are we strong? Are we weak? Are we fit? Are, you know, do we have endurance? You know, all of that kind of thing is very much involved in Aries. And this is a period, the spring often, there's a lot more physical fitness. People are like, oh, I gotta get my body back into shape. Summer's coming soon, right? Or, oh, the winter hibernation period is over.
Well, and I think too, it's like, you know, we are so heady, so many of us. I mean, you and I, that it's like the body is its own divination also. And that's something Jess is talking about a lot, is Jessie Reed, just talking a lot about, you know, listen to your body. And that's, let's not take for granted that's our biggest sensory instrument that anybody has. So I think it's like, let's just all give ourselves a little moment of applause where it's like, even though I don't think I know what I'm doing, I actually do know what I'm doing. And people wanting to pay attention to their bodies and like coming into balance, hello, you know, equinox, people are like, oh, wait, you know, I really let myself float out of my body during Pisces season, coming back into my body and being, it's like coming home from a vacation and being like, oh damn, like there's a pipe leaking and whatever, the stack of bills I gotta handle. But at the same time, I just think it's great for people just to be interested in it. Like, not because you want to get thin necessarily, or you want to like look a certain way, or you want your, but I mean, I think those things are, it's important to have those kinds of goals. But at the same time, like, what can your body really, really do for you? I mean, I don't know much about muscle testing. I've done it. And people have done it for me. It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like what we were talking about, you know, offline was just this, you know, how we have everything we need. We know everything we need to know. At this point, it really is just clearing the blocks. It's clearing the phenomena. It's clearing the cobwebs. It's clearing the toxins. It's clearing the blood sugar. It's clearing the things that are keeping us from actually getting that stream of wisdom, of wealth, of health, of love that is here absolutely, not, no question, in perpetuity. It's never not here.
Mm.
It's this idea of separation. It's this idea there's a problem. It's this idea that there's a block and could physically, tangibly be a block. And great. So what can you do to just remove that block and allow the pure flow of life force that is your birthright come through you?
Right.
And I just want to add for our listeners who can't see, I have the dog here that I'm literally wrestling as I'm giving this very important download. Speaking of life force, speaking of a creature being
a puppy around. Yeah. So. Well, I think that's important because breaking through blocks, again, I think that we've been conditioned to think that this is hard.
Yeah.
And then also that we have to wait.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a lot of times, I don't think necessarily that the younger generations, but certainly ours and probably the older generations, it's like, wait your turn. You know, we probably heard that a lot growing up, wait your turn. And that is not super helpful and it's not real. And especially if you understand that time and space are fake. And so that it's like time just folds in and on itself. So there is no order of events and anything can happen at any given moment and everything is already happening at every given moment. But two, this is what the eclipses can offer, are these breakthroughs. All we have to do is put the energy or the language into it, right? What if this was just the beginning? What was the one that you had said?
What if it just keeps
getting better? And, you know, or even to say something like, what would it look like if a breakthrough occurred? Because that too is part of our hesitation, is we're not giving ourselves permission to let the breakthrough happen or to move through to the other side. It's like on some, say you can completely imagine it. You can imagine this amazing, you know, relationship. You can imagine the new house. You can imagine a career that gives you satisfaction and joy and, you know, hundreds and thousands and millions of dollars in revenue, right? But is there a limiting belief that's standing between you today and that experience? So how do we just, you know, poke some holes in this? Well, we poke holes in it through our language and through our conscious intentions and through our, you know, our thoughts and the feelings that surround it too, because there might be a lot of heaviness around, well, I can't get a bigger house than my parents. What would, or I can't get a bigger house than my best friend. And what will they say? You know, I hate the they. This was a long-term topic in my household, where I've gotten that a lot from my mother, particularly, like, she'll bring up they, and I'm like, who are they? Who are the mysterious people, they, that are judging us, that are judging me for the decisions that I make? And it's like, it's such a hollow, you know, at the minute I point it out, it just falls apart. The argument is, doesn't matter. And I had a situation recently, a conversation with a friend about a relationship. And, you know, she's like, everybody's going to know about it. And I said, who's everybody? And I said, you, that other person, and a third person. And I literally stopped at three, because it wasn't everybody. It wasn't the millions of people, billions of people on this earth. It was three people. Yeah. That was like, wah, wah, you know, the whole argument shut down. There was just nothing there.
Well, you know, when you read into the victim language, at least with, you know, with the 55th gene key, and like, which is what the collective is, everyone is evolving and mutating in this 55th gene key. So it happens to be in my profile. So that's why I've been really paying attention to it. But, you know, it's really interesting how deep victim language and victim mindset goes. It involves blaming. It involves complaining. Like, even what you were saying before, wait your turn. It's like, wait, we can't all be rich together. I have to wait for that person. Like, what? Or even like comparing yourself to other people. It's like, you know, one example is, it's very back in the day, and still, I still do it. It's like, I'll look at someone and I'll be like, well, it's easy for them because dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. And by me thinking that, that says to me that somehow I'm a victim to some limitation because they have this freedom that I don't have, which is total bullshit. It's like, just because, you know, finding someone's reason, or at least judging someone's freedom based on the certain conditions they have in their life is kind of fucked up. It's like, that's actually the opposite of freedom. It's like, if you have to have certain conditions in place in order to have the freedom, you're actually not really free, are you? So,
yeah. And we don't know what they're like.
No. And that's the other thing I think too about unwinding the beliefs that we just accept. Like, oh, you know, I was told that going in, that having debt is a bad thing, so I never want to have debt. Well, that's one belief. And I have a business. And so recently I was talking with someone and they were telling me about some of their clients. And she's like, these people are millionaires and they have they carry a lot of debt. And it, for me, I had been trained, and these aren't bad things, by the way. It's not, I don't think it's a, you know, everything in its own place. It's like, okay, yeah, it's obviously no one wants to pay a lot of interest on debt, no matter what it is. But I really had been very hard on myself about it. But then again, if I look back 18 years ago, going into debt then was different from me going into debt or having debt with my business, for example, and like really examining, well, what, you know, is this true even? And does this matter? And is this something that, you know, do I have to carry the same level of belief around this? Because everything has changed very much in my life. And I just want to add that, you know, I don't know if we said this here before, but Pia the Fury had a post and she said, there's nothing to fix. There are just new choices to make. And I really want people to like sit with that one, because we talk about getting into balance. We talk about into highest time. Like, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to do things right and blah, blah, blah. That kind of just creates its own ecosystem of new problems and new pressures and new limiting beliefs. And it's like, look, if your life is not the way you exactly want it to be right now, cool. You can make a new choice right now.
Mm-hmm.
Make a choice after that and a choice after that. And I think even like using the vocabulary of fix, it implies that something's wrong. Nothing's wrong. You're just living with consequences of previous choices that you made. And maybe those choices were made in, you know, a fit of reaction, maybe your high blood sugar, you know, maybe someone influenced you, whatever. And none of that matters either. And you don't have to be a victim to it. You don't have to blame yourself or blame anyone. You don't have to be in some, you know, pool of regret. It's like, all right, well, this isn't great. So I can take a new breath. I have an equinox working for me. I have an eclipse that's got a lot of power coming in. I feel like I've come a long way. Is there a slightly better choice I could make in any given moment?
And I think too, in terms of the choices, which I think is a beautiful approach, sometimes people think, I don't have any other choices, or, you know, I've run out, or whatever that piece is. And this is where we get into energy. To change the energy is very, very important. To go to a different frequency dial is important in order to be able to make that other choice, because sometimes we feel stuck and we feel like, I can't, you know, then the can't thing comes in and that kind of thing, or like, I have no other choices, or I've gone through all of the choices, et cetera, et cetera. But you can't fix a problem. I don't want to use that word, fix. You can't make it. It's hard to make a new choice at the same energy at which the issue was begun. So we have to change the energy. And how do we do that? We do that through the breath. Mm-hmm. You are showing us a very good example as well of doing a hard yoga class, like doing physical yoga or a physical practice where you are actually sweating and changing the chemistry of your body, and changing the glandular system, and, you know, moving energy through. Even if you give yourself a foot rub, you know, like, it doesn't have to be some major thing. There's probably many different ways that you can work with your own body to do something that you can physically accomplish that's harder, challenging, or something like that. But to really, like, and also, as we know, breath, change your breath pattern, you know, do a deep inhale through the nose and a deep exhale through the mouth, do left nostril breathing, do alternate nostril breathing, do breath of fire, right? There's lots of different types of breath patterns that are available, and they will shift the energy very, 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 very fast. And, you know, we were taught by, you know, by our teacher, Guru Jagat, if you're in the middle of a conversation with someone and it's heated, for example, you could literally just take a very deep inhale and a very deep exhale, and it will change the energy of the conversation. It will immediately put you on a different frequency, and that person that you're engaged with will respond to it, and they might not even know why.
Yeah. And, like, you know, that's right on brand for the eclipses that are about to take place, because we know that it's Aries, Libra, it's the self, and then the self in relay, in relationship, in partnership. And I know a lot of us have been looking at, you know, codependent stories, how do I relate? And, you know, back to being in your body, back to being in your own breath, like, be good in your body, be good in yourself, like, be good in like, as many ways as you can, where you're just kind of cool with how you are and how you're showing up, and you're trusting that you do have, not even in places where, like, you don't even have a choice in many ways. Like, your body just takes care of it. Like, if I had to choose to tell my heart to beat every, you know, however, I mean, I'd be dead by now. Like, there's no way I could keep on top of that. Like, same thing with if I had to like remember like to take a breath, you know, thank God my body does it on its own, because God knows I'm thinking about other stupid shit that I really don't be thinking about. Yeah. But I think that's where the trust factor comes in too, where it's like stepping back, you're in that conversation, you take the breath. Another good Aries awareness, I think, is what am I fighting for? Who cares? Like, some of the shit that we argue about. My mom was messaging me last night about Kate Middleton, and I'm not getting into the theories about her. I think she's had a very serious surgery that she wants to keep private. And it's like, Jesus, like, let's be human here, right? And my mom's like, I think she has cancer. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I was reading this thing and da, da, da. She's like, well, I hope you're right. And we went back and forth quite a few times. And I'm like, Mom, I don't know. Like, what are we even talking about? Like,
well, I think that whole conversation is just a complete distraction.
Absolutely. Because,
you know, we all want something to focus on that's not ourselves. So let's focus on this absolutely, you know, a gorgeous, famous woman that's so far reserved and like hidden away. None of us actually know who she is or what she's about or where, you know, any of that. So it is, this is celebrity. This is why we love celebrities. In many ways. And well, yeah.
Something too, I was noticing also, which I think is interesting, is like just observing how fast the stories just go. Like, I mean, it not even like goes viral, but just like it just lights a fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we should all pay attention to this, because it's its own weird energy field of like, stealing your consciousness, stealing your energy. Like, what are we fighting for? Like, wait, what am I reading? How did I go down this rabbit hole? I mean, I think that Mercury retrograde's gonna, that's a moment for us too, I think, where it's like, listen, we gotta be on our game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe it was all actually Pisces energy, where we're all trying to escape and like, live out some fan. One theory I thought was really funny was actually like Kate Middleton is, she's not missing. She's actually in some Vermont town with amnesia and falls in love with a baker who's going to teach her the real story of Christmas.
This is that one's my favorite. I'm a Hallmark movie fan. So yeah, I was loving that one. Yeah.
You know, I guess, and then I just wanted to go back earlier too to what you were saying about being the observer, like we're both the observer and we're living in the experience. You know, my first thought was that makes us Kevin Costner, right? Because we're acting in the movie, we're directing the movie, we're producing the movie, and
we're writing it as we go.
And we're writing it as we go. I'm kind of like, you know, we're pretty badass. Like we should all win Oscars, I think, for best picture and, you know, best everything, because look at the incredible lives we're all living. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you, me, everyone listening, everyone out there, you're all living incredible lives. And I think it's fun to sort of step out of all of it. And maybe this is, again, a Mercury retrograde move. It's like, all right, so you just put out a masterpiece, and you're putting out a masterpiece. And is there anything you want to edit? Is there anything you want to maybe take a little bit of a different direction on? Like, are you behind the camera, or is it your 2-year-old toddler? Like, you know? So, yeah.
I actually think that that's a brilliant way to approach this season as we move in. The sun moves into Aries for equinox, and also these eclipses and this Aries Libra axis, right? Mm-hmm. Who are we? What do we stand for? What do we identify with energetically? Look at, again, that physical body, right? What is the body asking us for something that over and over again, whether it's like go on the water fast or do more physical, you know, a yoga or physical fitness, some type of physical fitness. I've been called for months. I'm like, I really want to start doing some weightlifting, which is very a good thing apparently for women of a certain age. And I've been called over and over. I keep getting the thing, go to the gym, just do it. Da, 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 da. And it's like, I haven't yet been able. So again, there's some story here of why I can't, or, you know, that's for other people, not for me. And I won't run into those problems, but it's like, hey folks, like, no, I'm aging too. You know, my body is going through changes as well. So pay attention to all of that stuff. And it truly is the more we are ourselves more frequently, being present in the body, in our own lived experience, in our own soul, in the current present timeline, in our own breath at this moment, right? Not holding our breath or, you know, hyperventilating or losing our breath. The more we're in that stasis, centered experience and expression through the physical form, the more we get to do the thing that we're here to do. The more, you know, the relationships are going to be more easeful. The career is going to be more easeful. Our sleep will be better, by the way. We'll make better choices throughout the day, whatever those choices might be. And I think that's the path forward. And that's truly, I think, what this equinox does bring us back into balance, why it is the most important day of the year, to bring it back to the theme here. Because it really, it does revolve around us. We are the movie stars. We are the star of our own experience here on Earth. And to honor that and to go through the thing that we're called here to come to experience is number one.
Well, and you know, what comes to mind when you say that too, about like your weightlifting, for example, you know, something our friend Santosh said to me a long time ago was, great, add. Cause like when I was at Tucson one year, I was just eating junk food and it was just so much energy. And I was talking to her and she was like, I think she was pushing the cold shower, but she was like, and I was like, ugh. She's like, listen, or, you know, breath of fire or something. She's like, just add a little, don't take away, eat all the junk food you want, eat all the junk food you want. Don't even think about it. Add some breath of fire. Add 2 minutes of a cold shower. And that has been a very good piece of advice for me because, you know, there's a part of us that is very needy and wants, you know, there's the whatever the gremlins are inside of us, the negative entities, as the Tibetan Buddhists would say, like, you know, rather than get hard on ourselves and starve ourselves of certain things, just add the good thing. Mm-hmm. And I think too, the you know, who knows, maybe you'll go lift weights and like you'll do it twice and you'll be like, all right, I'm, and like you did it, and maybe you won't be so pushed, maybe that voice will go away, but or that voice could be something that by you at least acknowledging it and taking action on it, you're also sending signals to yourself that you're trusting your intuition, that you are actually getting the signals. Cause like our higher selves, our guides, like, I mean, I know for me, if I keep telling someone something and they don't listen or don't take action, I'm going to be like, all right, well, I'm just not going to talk to them anymore. Like clearly they're not listening to me. You know what I mean? I think you do build a level of trust with yourself. And also you can just be funny about it. Like, all right, I don't know. Let's go lift weights. Let's go play the Rocky theme. I mean,
I'm reminded of our conversation last night where I was giving you so much advice and you're like, I love all this, but I'm not going to do it. Thank you. Because I said it to you multiple times and I heard you for real. And I thought, I'm not going to talk to her about this again. If she's interested, she'll come to me.
It was the end of our conversation and I was really tired. And I was like, okay, this is not like easeful sleep conversation. Like I need to turn on one of those apps where some British actor is like, you know, talking about the moon to me. And one other thing I just want to leave with people, I think I've been really resonating with, and that has been kind of the message for me going into this season of of eclipses where it's, you know, relationships and all that, is the sutra, remember the other person is you. And that is something that it's very fun to get caught up in blame and comparing and blah, blah, blah. And remember the other person is you, for better or for worse. So, you know, back to our Kevin Costner scenario, remember the scene in Midsummer Night's Dream where Bottom's like, I shall play Pyramus. Oh, and I shall play Thisbe too. And I shall do this. And it's like, guess what? We're all Bottom. We are playing all the parts, and like our bits of ourselves are reflected in all of the other people. So if you see someone and you covet what they have, or you wish you had what they had, it's like, you do have it. You do, somewhere. And if someone's acting a certain way that you don't love, it's like, guess what? You do that too. So back to the awareness, back to the being in your body, and back to being in the, you know, the best, highest timeline you could possibly be in. It's like, it's not us against them. Tell your mom that.
I love that. I love that. It's not us against them. All right. Happy equinox. And yes, absolutely. I am doing readings right now for people that are interested in what this equinox is going to bring for them. It is a 3-month grid from that lasts from this period until the summer solstice or winter solstice, if you happen to be below the equator or on the other side of the equator. But it's been really fascinating to just, again, delve into these energetics and see what's available and to really understand these lessons and the cycles and to watch and learn and go deep, because to your point, we have all the information that we need, and often we just need to be reminded of it, because so much is going on, we lose ourselves in the past or in the future. So come back into the present, pay attention, be in the now, do your dharma like your hair is on fire.
Yeah, and sometimes, and you know, dharma workers have to sleep too, and dharma workers are in human bodies, and you know, there's no, in a way, it's like, I feel like the only way that you can fuck it up is by not participating.
Yeah.
Like, did we give the quote earlier? Did you give the quote?
I did not give it. You want to give it?
You give the quote. It's good.
Life is a constant flow of love. It only takes your participation.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and yes, just to, you know, the other person is you. That's why I love having conversations with you about my chart. And that's why I know a lot of people really benefit from, you know, having a session with you, because as we were talking too, it's not just about the astrology. You have a lot of wisdom. You have so much yogic experience. So it's like, you can look at someone's chart and not only say, I mean, this is something very important to me. Like, our charts have everything in them. And some people have a very negative outlook and some people have a very positive outlook. And I think you have a very helpful outlook, which is like the best way that, okay, so there's this energy here. Mm-hmm. And the best thing I would say is do this kind of a breath work, or look at this, you know, chant this mantra, have these tools to help you really make the most of the energy. And the same thing with the crystals, you know, it's like, yes, when I work with clients, it's like they're here to buy a crystal. But as we know, it goes way beyond that. It goes way beyond just, oh, citrine for prosperity. It's like, we can have a conversation that goes way beyond anything that's just encapsulated in a pretty piece. But
yeah, many, many, many layers deep. Yes. All right. Thank you for this conversation. Very excited to go down this into this portal as we're approaching it quite rapidly right now. And in many ways, we're already in it, and it will last for a good chunk of time. So more to come along these lines, and we'll see you again very soon.
See you soon.